Today's saint, Saint Benedict, is one of the giants of church history. We honor him as the father of Western monasticism, kind of like an Abraham figure, right? Father of a whole new thing. So, I say a giant in church history, really a giant in human history too, because it was the monasteries that largely preserved the heritage of Western civilization during difficult times. The monasteries became a kind of anchor when the storms of history got severe and threatened to wipe out, roving bands of barbarians threatened to wipe out everything. Well, monasteries preserved the memory of what came before, even secular memories, the manuscripts from Greek and Roman pagan philosophers, they were preserved by the monks for the most part. So we think of Benedict in very lofty terms. He's a great man and had a great impact and a great heritage. But Benedict himself didn't think back in the 6th century, I'm going to establish something that will have impact for 15 more centuries. He wasn't thinking about establishing a movement that would carry on civilization. He was doing the will of God today and passing on what he learned to his brothers. He wrote down the rule. I don't think he thought that that rule was going to be one of the cornerstones of church and human history. He was simply passing on the wisdom he had received. The Benedictines have this motto. I assume it comes from Saint Benedict himself: "Ora et labora." Ora et labora. Simple Latin expression: pray and work. Pray and work. And that kind of shapes their whole life. Pray and work. Very simple. Pray, largely meaning reciting of the Psalms, praying of the Psalms, and also pondering the Word, the Lectio Divina. The Word of God shapes the whole day of a monk. Not that they're praying all the time, but they return to prayer often. And their prayers often reciting passages of Scripture, especially the Psalms. That's the ora part. Et labora, the labora part is largely simple manual labor, working in the fields, maintaining the monastery structures, and also, in the old days, writing. Not writing as in the sense of composing, but copying manuscripts, because before the invention of the printing press, the only way to have books was to write them. So who's doing all the writing? Countless, nameless, forgotten monks writing down, copying over and over and over again the scriptures and also great works of literature. Church literature and also secular documents. So the labora part was not running out and doing miracles for the most part. It was ordinary manual labor, ordinary daily tasks, taking care of the farm animals, cultivating the fields, preparing the crops, also serving the poor who were in the monastery vicinity, taking care of the sick, taking care of the other brothers in the monastery, and copying manuscripts. Kind of, ordinary. And it's that multiplication of ordinary prayers and ordinary works that adds up to an extraordinary movement in the church. So, ora et labora. Who knew who those monks were, even at the time, and much, much less after they passed away, and some of those monasteries don't even exist anymore. The ancient Monte Cassino does. But a lot of monasteries came and went. just in ruins. And those monks came and went. Who knows who they were? I am reflecting on this in light of Jesus' instructions to the apostles when he sends them out as missionaries. Remember, we read in yesterday's gospel the selection and the names of the 12. And here we're continuing to read this passage from Matthew where he gives them instructions about what they're supposed to do. Okay, go out and proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Basic proclamation of every Christian. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is with us. And we are instruments of God. We are participating in the work of God. That's a perennial message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Meaning God is alive. He's at work. He's saving us. And he's inviting us to be part of his saving work. Then Jesus gives this list of things to do. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and drive out demons. Which sounds like big, dramatic, miraculous works. And sometimes, of course, it was. But most of the time, it was not big, dramatic, miraculous works. It was ordinary care for ordinary people. Curing the sick, for the most part, means caring for the sick. Until they get better or until they don't get better. But daily care of the sick is not a glamorous, miraculous work. It's ordinary love. Raising the dead, well, that doesn't happen very often. But if you take it spiritually, you know it has to do with giving spiritual life to those who are spiritually dead. Instructing, guiding, giving good example, giving people hope, cleansing lepers, driving out demons. Okay, I don't want to get into all the details, but my point is the work of the monks, like the work of the apostles, was for the most part hidden and seemingly insignificant. A multiplication of very small acts of charity. Occasionally there is great miraculous works, even in the life of Saint Benedict. But for the most part, even Benedict's life, it didn't have anything very significant about it. Just daily works of charity, daily repeated good decisions which build up virtue. Now, how do we persevere in a thing like that? And how do we keep the balance between the greatness of what's to be done and the greatness of the commission and the seeming insignificance of what is happening today? Well, the focus has to be on the Lord. As soon as the focus is on ourselves, well, we'll either get grandiose ideas about all the things we're supposed to do, or we'll get discouraged about all the things we're not doing or can't do. So focus on self is a dead end. That's why ora et labora. Ora first. Pray. Lift up your eyes, your hearts to God. Listen to the word of God. Open yourself to the work of God, the grace of God. The horizon is not limited by what we see of ourselves. So don't self-focus ends up closing the circle on ourselves. At labora, the labora, work. The work part has to do with willingly cooperating with God. Big and small works, mostly small, but it doesn't matter. It's up to God. So once we have confidence in God, we can confidently go out and do the work of God. Once we ora, we can labora, whatever the labora is, whatever the work is. Let's take an insight from the prophet Hosea, today's first reading. We've been reading from Hosea all week. Remember, we started the readings from Hosea with the symbol he used of the people of Israel being like an adulteress. The people of Israel were an unfaithful bride. And the Lord was the faithful husband who was winning her back. He was not giving up on her, but he was purifying her. Remember, leading her into the desert and all that. In today's reading, the readings after Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, a lot of emphasis on the problem of idolatry. and the need to be purified of idolatry, because that's a dead end. Idolatry, which looks religious, is actually a focus on oneself. It's actually a dependence on oneself. But in today's reading, the Lord, through Hosea, shifts it a little bit and reveals that his relationship with his people is not only of a husband to a wife, it's also of a father to a little child. So it's a shift in imagery, but it's a beautiful one because it reminds us of who we are before God. And here he describes how, the Lord describes how he tenderly loved his people, drew them with human cords, bands of love. I fostered them like one who raises an infant to his cheeks. So you see a father picking up his little child, cheek to cheek, very tender, loving, not with expectation that the child is more than he or she is. It's acceptance of the little child. And this is the paternal love of God, which does not change. So yes, he says that the more I called them, the more I loved them, the farther away they went. So that was a big problem, and I had to address it. But my love for my people is not any different than my love from the beginning, father to child. Now, the reason that's a very good thing to remember is because when we are in the daily grind of ora et labora, and we're tempted to focus on what we're accomplishing or not accomplishing, or on what we're suffering, or what our loved ones are suffering, or what things are going wrong, to be reminded of the love of God sets things back in order, right? We're not just grinding our way through our daily routines, hoping that some good is going to come out of it. We are being carried by a father who loves us with tenderness, who has always loved us, who loves us even though we have messed up in the past, and even though we have limitations and breakdowns. That doesn't stop the love of our father who's carrying us. Just like we heard earlier this week, it doesn't stop the love. Just our infidelities and our idolatries doesn't stop the love of God who has espoused us in love. So it's that foundation of divine love, of unchanging divine love, mercy, tenderness, which makes it possible for us to go out as his missionary disciples. I mean, he sends out the apostles in today's gospel. He sends them out without any money, without any sack, without any second tunic, without any sandals, without any walking. He sends them out practically naked into the world. Well, that's how we all come into the world, naked. And it didn't bother us when we were born that we didn't have any money. It didn't bother us that we didn't have any walking stick. We didn't need it. Our parents carried us around. Well, this is the reminder. It doesn't mean we can't use money and we can't wear clothes and we can't have walking sticks. Of course, we can use all those things, but we don't depend on those things. What we depend on is the love of God, the unchanging, amazing love of God. So that reminder of that foundation is so important for us as we do our daily work, ora et labora. Don't get distracted by the ups and downs of one day or another. What doesn't change is the love of God for us and his will that we participate in his saving work.